Verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, and unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and from this Lebanon unto the great river, the river Euphrates, unto the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt divide for an inheritance the land where I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all of the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, and turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today. What a blessing it has already been just in a few moments. Oh, the music, how to preach and follow such wonderful music. I thank you for that. I thank you for the tribute that we made to this great country, those who showed great courage, those who sacrificed much for the freedoms that we get to enjoy right now this morning. We thank you for that. We thank you for those, even outside of the Revolutionary War, the sacrifices made that have continued to make those type of sacrifices so that we can enjoy, once again, the freedoms that we get to enjoy today. So we thank you for this week that we will celebrate our nation's independence. We also thank you for you, Lord, for loving us so much that you would send your only begotten Son to die on a cross for our sins. And I don't know if that's something that we'll ever be able to truly comprehend. Loving us that much that you would send your only begotten Son to die on that old rugged cross for our sins, for our salvation. So we thank you for that today. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll have your hand upon me as I continue to preach your word. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. I pray that no words would be of myself, that you would speak through me this morning. I pray that something said today would be a blessing and it would bring you glory. We love you and thank you. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Book of Joshua. Some of you may have heard the reference to the Bible and called His Story. His Story. Well, I think this example is no more true than in the book of Joshua, where it takes up at the history of the chosen people of God, the death of Moses, through the life of his successor, Joshua. And it's an essential sequel to the Pentateuch. And for those who don't know what the Pentateuch is, it's the first five books of the Old Testament. So it's an essential sequel to the Pentateuch in declaring and the fulfillment of God's covenant with Israel through Moses. And it's interesting here that as Joshua is getting ready to be the successor to Moses, that he needs this encouragement from the Lord. You think of the word courage. I've heard the word courage defined several different ways. I've heard the word courage defined as bravery, not being afraid. And I believe there's some truth to those, but I think if you've asked anyone, especially someone maybe in the military or a police officer or a fireman, that if they were afraid when they actually had to utilize courage, I'm sure they probably told you that they were very afraid. So I think a more accurate definition of the word courage is strength in the face of fear, pain, or grief. Strength in the face of that fear, in the face of that pain or grief that you may go through, the strength to get through it. I found this a wonderful story that I did want to share. about a boy named David. David was a 2-year-old with leukemia. Excuse me, I'm going to try to get through this. I read this to my daughter and I started breaking down. She says, "Dad, if you're going to cry, don't read it." So I'm going to try, but I'm not promising anything. David was a 2-year-old with leukemia, taken by his mother, Deborah, to Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston to see Dr. John Truman, who specializes in treating children with cancer and various blood diseases. Dr. Truman's prognosis was devastating. He has a 50-50 chance. The countless clinic visits, the blood tests, the intravenous drugs, the fear and the pain. The mother's ordeal can be almost as bad as the child's, and I'm sure many women here can probably relate to Deborah. Almost as bad as a child's. As a child, because she must stand there and watch, unable to bear the pain herself. How many here would say, "I'd love to take the pain for my child" in a situation like that? Unable to bear the pain herself. David never cried in the waiting room. Although his friends in the clinic had to hurt him and stick needles in him, he hustled courageously in ahead of his mother with a smile, sure of the welcome that he always received. When he was 3, David had to have a spinal tap, a painful procedure at any age. It was explained to him that because he was sick, Dr. Truman had to do something to make him better. "If it hurts, remember it's because he loves you," Deborah said. The procedure was horrendous. It took 3 nurses to hold David still. And while he yelled and sobbed and struggled, when it was almost over, the tiny boy, soaked in sweat and tears, looked up at the doctor and gasped, "Thank you, Dr. Truman, for my hurting." It's just like our Heavenly Father, isn't it? When we go through pain, trials, and tribulations, it's for our good because he loves us. I'm sure everyone here can recite Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. To them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So today we celebrate our great nation's independence. An independence and freedom that we are enjoying right now today. An independence that started when courageous men and women broke away from religious tyranny and took this perilous journey to a new and distant land so that they could exercise religious freedom. And as this great country that we get to enjoy and be in at this point, as this great country was being established to the promises and precepts and guidelines of the Word of God, these great people once again found themselves having to break away from now social and economic tyranny as they had to break away from Mother England. So today we celebrate our nation's independence, an independence that started with courage. Well, today we will look at Joshua, another man who displayed much courage in his life. A man who the Lord appoints to succeed Moses in leading the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, to the promised land, another difficult and perilous journey. And while Joshua was not a prophet, there is absolutely no doubt he was a divinely inspired leader. A divinely inspired leader. Now, I don't know how many times you've looked at the meaning of names. I used to be a high school Bible teacher. So I gave... the cameramen are going to have fun with me. Sorry, guys. I'll do the best I can. I was a high school Bible teacher, and so I gave the assignment to look up the meaning of your own name, 2 of your friends, and then 2 of your favorite Bible characters. Well, I did the same thing. I looked up the name for Richard. I don't know how many know what Richard means, but it means strong, powerful ruler, brave one. If that's not a pride check, I've never heard of one. What's your name mean? Strong, powerful ruler, brave one. That's even one where you don't even have to have a tie on and you kind of straighten the tie. Well, one of the compromises my wife and I had when we got married was, who was naming the children? Well, I'm Richard Thomas Unger III. So if you ask my wife, she probably wouldn't use the word compromise, but more submission, because she knew the first boy was going to be Richard Thomas Unger IV. Now, I did compromise. I'm a good guy. I compromised. She got the name of the girls, Ashley and Elizabeth. So when the boys came, my turn. Yes. Well, to find out that she was pregnant, that was wonderful. And I'm sure if you ask my wife to reveal to you the story of how she told me, but we knew that we were having twins before she had the ultrasound to find out we were having twins. God told her through God's word. So you have to ask the story, and she'll gladly tell you, I'm sure. Find out twins. Well, we found out we had twins, and I kind of thought, my brother Pete just had twins, and he had boy girls, so that's kind of what I thought we were going to do. I said, well, let's look at my boy. Right. Well, two boys. Found out it was two boys. Wow, that's kind of a problem now, isn't it? So I would, as she started to grow, I'd kind of get over to the belly, because, you know, as dads, we like to do that, right? We kind of talk to the belly, you know. How many dads? Talk to the kid in the belly? A few? All right, come on, you guys, be honest. All right, we're in church. So I'd talk to the belly, and I'd say, all right, guys, listen, I'm a former basketball player, coach. Whoever comes out first gets to be Richard Thomas Unger IV. Gave him the challenge. Like they had a choice, right? Well, the time comes, and out comes Richie. And I thought, Richie won the race, but I don't think that was it. Knowing Tommy, who's my football player, she probably pushed him out and said, all right, enough. Get out. I need some room. Pushed him out. So my mom came up with the idea, whoever comes out first, Richard Thomas Unger IV, and whoever comes out second, Thomas Richard. That makes sense. It's a pretty good idea. So I'm still waiting because Thomas is my football player. Richie eats like a football player. So I'm waiting to come home one day and Richie will have sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. So I'm waiting for that day. So I thought that I would have a little fun today and look up some names of some of your staff just to kind of see what they mean. Pastor Herman means soldier or army man. And so for anyone that's been in the military almost 40 years, that's probably a pretty good the definition for his name. Now Pastor Phillip's looking at me like, oh great. What is my name mean? I don't know. Pastor Phillip means lover of horses. So I don't know if that's true, but if you see 100 horses around Pastor Phillip's house, you'll know, okay, that's true. Pastor Dave means beloved or friendly. So if you see Pastor Dave come in and he stubs his toe and he's grumpy or he's angry, just go, Pastor Dave, your name means beloved and friendly. Remember that. Remember that. Yeah, I know. Well, Joshua means Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. So that's quite interesting when you really stop and think that Joshua was used by the Lord to lead his people, God's chosen people, to the promised land where not only would they thrive, but they would also be able to freely worship Jehovah. One thing we will see about Joshua was that he was obviously a man of God. He was obviously a man of faith. He was obviously a man of obedience, and he was obviously a man of courage. Joshua was a man who the Lord would appoint to lead his people to conquer the land of Canaan. But before they could cross the River Jordan, before they could conquer this great land, before they could even see the glorious victories of God over Jericho and Ai, Joshua needed encouragement from the Lord. Now, we're talking about Joshua, this courageous warrior, this obedient and faithful man of God, needed encouragement from the Lord. And one thing we will see about Joshua's testimony is this: obedient faith brings abundant blessing. Obedient faith brings, it's kind of like plus, plus, plus equals. Obedient faith brings abundant. And even this man had these incredible spiritual gifts, these noble character traits. This courageous warrior needed encouragement from the Lord. We see that in verses 6 through 9. It says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers. He already made this commitment, this promise, this covenant to the fathers to give them. So only thou Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Once again, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We also see this encouragement in other areas of Scripture. 1 Chronicles 28:20, we see this encouragement from a father to a son. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. It's interesting, isn't it? I'm not just giving you words to be strong and courageous. I want you to be strong and courageous. Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. He's not going to be finished till you're done. Till the task is finished. God is going to be with you. He's not going to fail you. Be strong and good courage, because God is going to help you through those times. Until he's done. Until he's done. This one you can go ahead and turn to, because I know you were kind of dying to go to 1 Chronicles. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Of course, keep your finger on Joshua. We'll be right back there. Flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 31. We see this encouragement again from Moses to the nation of Israel to be faithful to God. Stay faithful to the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Look at verses 6 through 8 with me. A lot of this is going to sound very familiar. Deuteronomy chapter 31, starting in verse 6. Sounds like most of you there. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For thy Lord, thy God, he it is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doeth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. You're starting to hear, sounding familiar, isn't it? And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests of the son of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. You can kind of see a common theme here, that we're to be strong and courageous because God is with us. He wants to equip us. He wants to help us. He wants to encourage us. And I understand the Christian life is very rewarding, isn't it? The Christian life, now you're like, where's he going? The Christian life, now the camera guys are really going to hate me. The Christian life is very rewarding. You know, the blessings that we get from God are rewarding. It's rewarding when we see prayer answered. It's rewarding when we have victory in Jesus. It's rewarding when we see the lost come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's rewarding being in the house of God, fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in Christ, isn't it? But the Christian life also has difficulties, doesn't it? Christian life has trials and tribulations and persecutions and suffering and attacks from the enemy. So, as believers, we should be able to relate to where Joshua's feeling. He probably needs that encouragement, because we all do, don't we? There are times in a Christian life where we all need encouragement. We need encouragement from the Lord. We need encouragement from His Holy Spirit. We need encouragement from the Word of God. We need encouragement from brothers and sisters in Christ. And you might be here today, and maybe you're not really sure what God's will is for you. Maybe you're not really sure where your place is in the body of Christ. Well, know this morning. You're part of the body of Christ, might be in your place every Sunday. Because you'll never really know how encouraging you may be. You don't know, how often do we come into church and tell everybody what we went through for the week? How much we were beaten down by the enemy and how much Satan attacked us and what we went through in trials and tribulations. We don't know when you come in, hey, how are you doing? Everything's great. That's what we kind of do, isn't it? It's kind of like the role we play. So we don't really know how beaten down that brother and sister in Christ may have been. Maybe they had some situations with their job. Maybe they lost their job and they don't want to tell everybody. Don't know. So you don't know how much that kind, encouraging word that you give on Sunday might be to someone. Or maybe that encouraging handshake. Good to see you, brother. Maybe it's that holy hug. Maybe it's offering answered prayer. We all need encouragement. We need encouragement from the Word of God. We need encouragement from the Holy Spirit. We need encouragement from the Word of God. We need encouragement from brothers and sisters in Christ. We all need encouragement. So we should all be able to relate to Joshua this morning. But just as this great country was established by courageous men and women who were strong and courageous and overcoming obstacles and an overpowering enemy, just as the nation of Israel had to overcome great trial and tribulation to reach the promised land, brothers and sisters, believers today need to be strong and courageous to get victory in the Christian life. Anybody here say the Christian life is easy? It's just awesome. You know, I go to work and people don't think I'm weird or strange or call me a Bible thumper or a fanatic. I go to my neighbor's house and try to encourage them to church and they think I'm crazy. It's not easy, is it? I'll tell you what, if you're a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, it gets harder because guess who's attacking you all the time? Your target. Believers today need to be strong and courageous because we have to overcome a relentless enemy, a worldly society, and then trials and tribulations to live a victorious Christian life. Not easy living in a Christian life. It's not easy to be a victorious follower. And I understand we're here this morning, and yes, our primary purpose for being here this morning is to worshiping our Lord. And that's our primary purpose for being here is worshiping our God, worshiping our Savior. And I just explained another great purpose is fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in Christ, or maybe encouraging that brother and sister. But hopefully also, our goal here this morning is to get equipped to live a victorious Christian life out there. To live a victorious Christian life, to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Hopefully that's our goal as well. Jesus said in John 15:20, "Remember the word I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." You know, the Lord is encouraging Joshua for this difficult task. And the courage of Joshua is the leading feature and character trait that is distinctly and directly built upon faith. And we see that because Joshua obeyed God's call without hesitation. Joshua obeyed God's call without hesitation. And I don't know how many times you've seen examples like Joshua and you've thought to yourself, man, could I do that? I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I love Him. I'm faithful to Him. I obey His word. But would I be able to obey Him for a call that He's placed on my life? without hesitation. Because I remember the Rich Unger plan when the Lord called me into the ministry was, I was telling some of the men, yeah, I was executive correspondent at Fleet Credit Card Services, and my wife had a full daycare, and we were faithful to Fairwinds Baptist Church and involved all these ministries, and I was working with the youth, and I was the athletic director for the Christian school, and I coached basketball and volleyball, and I just loved it. I loved it. My job was good. As soon as I got off my work, I'd be right over at the church and the school, and I'd be working with the young people. Loved it. And then the Lord said, okay, Lord, Rich, I'm calling you to the ministry. And okay, Lord, what does that exactly mean? So the Rich Unger plan was, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep working at Fleet. We're about ready to buy our house. Honey, you keep working your daycare. And what I'll do is I'll cut back on the coaching, and maybe I'll let someone else do the athletic directing. And I still want to work with the youth because I loved working with the youth. And then I'll go to college at night. That wasn't God's plan. God's plan says, Rich, listen, I'm not just calling you to the ministry. I'm calling you to be faithful. I'm calling you to be obedient. I want you to pack up your house, close the daycare, quit your job, pack up everybody. I'm married. I got two daughters. And move to Florida. Lord, I'm living in Delaware. What do you mean Florida? And I want you to go to school full time. And I want you to work full time. And I want you to serve in Bible clubs on your spare time. I want you to give it all to me. And I want you to step out in faith. I said, okay, Lord. We packed up, closed our daycare up, moved to Florida. All we had was a house. Didn't have a job yet. I said, okay. And we were telling those, we had a wonderful time with Pastor Dave and the deacons and their wives last night at dinner. And we shared kind of some of this with them. And didn't have a job. But what God did in those 4 years when I was at Bible college, and we went from making, $60,000, $70,000 a year to 18. Anybody want to try that tomorrow? For 4 years? And go to Bible college? And still be a husband and a dad? But the things that God did in our lives, the blessings that He gave us in that 4 period of time, I would never trade. One of these days, maybe we'll write a book. What God did. Time we didn't have groceries. Paid our bills. Tithe first. Had that right off the bat. Paid our bills. Nothing for food. Prayed. A few hours later, our neighbor knocks on the door. It was a buy one, get one free at the grocery store. The Lord put you guys on my heart and bags of groceries. True story. That's the kind of things that God did because we were faithful, because we were obedient. We stepped out and said, Lord, I trust you, and I'm going to... Listen, I hesitated. The whole point of that story was my original response was hesitation. I didn't just say, okay, Lord, let's go. I'm cool and jump in with both feet. No, I had a Rich Unger plan. I hesitated a little bit. I kind of felt, Lord, at one point the Lord was kind of calling me to go to Pensacola to study. No, Lord, I hesitated. So, again, looking at Joshua, that even challenges myself to think, man, at what point would I be in my Christian life where I would step out in obedience without hesitation? Now, I know you're probably like, man, Pastor, you haven't gotten to your first point yet. I promise you this. I'm usually pretty good with my intro, and I get through my points a little faster, so you don't have to panic. I'll panic, though. You know, let me take this off. My old pulpit, I had a clock. I guess they had a hint, right? Okay, Pastor, you're preaching too long. So they put a clock there so I could see. So I'm going to use my watch just so I don't lose track. All right, here. First, if we look at Joshua's example, we see Joshua was a perceptive soldier. Joshua was a perceptive soldier. Going back to our text, verses 1 through 4. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Joshua learned from Moses the importance of being perceptive. The importance of being perceptive. Imagine being appointed to replace Moses. Moses. As we see here, we see that he was Moses' minister, in other words, servant, and is believed he was his servant for almost 80 years. So imagine what he's learned from watching Moses' life over that period of time, and yet God is asking him to replace Moses. Think about that dynamic. Now, I know sometimes we get really excited when we meet somebody famous. And I've already mentioned to you, I'm a diehard Steelers fan. And my favorite Pittsburgh Steeler, I know if anybody here is a Steelers fan, and you think about the Steelers of the 70s, the Terry Bradshaws and the Franco Harrises, and then, of course, the 90s when you had Jerome Bettis and those type of guys, Rod Woodson, and then, of course, today's team, you know, the Roethlisbergers and Palomales. You might have a hard time picking one, but for me, it's easy. It's Jerome Bettis. Jerome Bettis has always been, and for those who don't know, I'm a big sports fan, Brother Ken's back there going, who is Jerome Bettis? We are Penn State, Brother Ken. All right. So now you know next time you wear that shirt and somebody goes, we are, you'll go, Penn State. Inside joke, if you don't know it, ask Brother Ken. He'll tell you all about it. Tell Barb. She does a better job. Ask Barb. She'll tell you. So Jerome Bettis is my favorite. Well, my daughter, again, I told him, my kids, they come out of the womb with a terrible towel. I mean, they just do. It's kind of in my blood, and it filters into them. And, of course, Tommy, my 12-year-old, he's yelling at the TV like me. And my wife looks, he is your son. He is the... And, of course, my other kids, Dad, they can't hear you. Yes, they can. They can't hear me. Block. Well, Jerome Bettis is my favorite. And so my daughter had another friend of hers. We were in Halifax. There was a lot of Steeler fans out in Halifax. And her friend was a Steeler fan. And he says, hey, I got an extra ticket to meet Jerome Bettis and get his autograph. Do you want to go? And Beth's like, yes. And so she meets Jerome Bettis. And she gets a picture with Jerome Bettis. And every once in a while, I get a text. Dad, look who I got to meet. Thanks, Beth. So every once in a while, Dad, I met Jerome Bettis. But we get excited when we meet somebody famous, don't we? And we kind of, I mean, whether it's a Jerome Bettis or a Donald Trump or, I don't know, maybe that's not. We don't get excited too much about that. I don't know. We get excited when we meet somebody famous, but think about Moses. He actually spoke with God. He spoke with God. This is a man Joshua had to replace, a man who spoke with God. He also had to replace a man who God did use to do great miracles and wonders. He replaced a man that took on Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt, which was the greatest nation of the world at that time, to free a nation of people from slavery. He replaced a man who led a nation through the wilderness to the promised land. This was the man that Joshua was replacing. I'm pretty sure he probably had to deal with some fear and inadequacy, didn't he? Don't you think? Replacing Moses? Where he needed that encouragement from God. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot, again, this is the encouragement God is giving him because he is about ready to take on a great task and fill some pretty big shoes. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you as I said unto Moses. He needed this encouragement that God was going to do the same thing for Joshua that he promised he was going to do for Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. I'm sure it would be quite understandable for Joshua to deal with some feelings of fear, some feelings of inadequacy. He's replacing Moses. And when it comes to our lives as believers, whether we are wanting to serve the Lord in some capacity that maybe be outside of our comfort zone. Anybody done that? You know, somebody asked, hey, I'd love you to teach this class. You know, I don't know how to teach. You know, some area that you want to serve God, and maybe it's outside of your comfort zone, or maybe it's totally surrendering to the will of God. Maybe it's being totally obedient to His call. There are times in our lives where we are going to deal with feelings of fear and inadequacy. And I can tell you this, that's exactly where the Lord wants you. That's exactly where the Lord wants us, is feeling inadequate. Because what He doesn't want us to do is try to do things in our own strength. He doesn't want us to try to do things in our own wisdom, our own knowledge, our own ability. He wants us to say, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. Good. Now rely on me. Now trust in me. Be strong and very courageous and trust in me, and I'll equip you and I'll do something great in your life. And that's what God longs to do in all of our lives. So if you're here today and someone's asked you to take over a bus ministry or teach a class and you're like, I'm not equipped. Good. Now go to God and say, God, I'm not equipped. I need you to help me. I need you to equip me. I need you to help me so you can get the glory at what happens through me. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Of course, keep your place at Joshua. I do want to see this in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Philippians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 6. Verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, giving you that call, that desire to serve, but maybe feeling inadequate. Maybe it's just the beginning of it. He that begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God will equip us. God will help us. He will work through us. We also see that Joshua was perceptive in observing the things of God. Back in our text, he was perceptive in observing the things of God. Joshua observed Moses, watched him, studied him, learned from him. Probably a lot to learn in 80 years. A lot to learn. Watched his mistakes. Learned from his victories. And he saw God's blessing in Moses' life. And when you really think about watching God work in Moses' life time and time again as a servant, you know that those are things that had to encourage Joshua. Trust in the Lord and His words and what He was promising, and it probably increased his faith. You know, learning from the lives of other saints can really help us live a victorious Christian life. I know for me, I would much rather learn from someone else's mistakes than make them myself. Anybody here say amen? And listen, I heard some amens for the singers. Don't run out of them. Keep them for the pastor as well. All right, keep preaching amens. Use them all. I heard you with them. I heard the singers. I heard the singers. Amen, amen. But we can learn a lot. So I would rather learn from others' mistakes so I don't make them. I'd like to learn from others' victories as well. If someone else was able to do something and get victory, that's the way I want to do it, because I don't want to make mistakes to get to the victory if I can help it. When we went back to Fairwinds, before we went to Michigan, Dr. E.L. Britton, he is the founding pastor of Fairwinds Baptist Church, and that was about over 60 years ago. He's still there. He's 96 years old and rides his bike 5 miles a day. 96. Gets a little helmet on. He goes around the campus. It's the cutest thing you've ever seen. Got his little, of course, his daughter made him put a helmet on. You know, he's got his helmet. And he is still just, he still teaches on Wednesday night. I tell you, when there was Wednesday night prayer meeting, he was there. Oh, he's now he turned the ministry over to his son-in-law, Carlo. And now Carlo's been a pastor there for almost 20 years. But, you know, Pastor Britton still, you know, teaches on Wednesday night and that sort of thing. And it's just, I mean, he's just amazing. And I told my kids and my family on Wednesday night when it was prayer meeting time, I said, listen, I'm out of here at quarter of. If you're not in the car, you're getting left. Because I'm getting my seat next to Dr. Britton. Because I wanted to learn as much as I could from him. I wanted to learn as much from him and his life in the ministry and things that would help me. And I made sure I had that. It got to where no one even took the seat because they knew that was my seat. It could be packed in there and someone would be standing up leaving the seat next to Dr. Britton because they knew it was mine. Because I wanted to learn. And we can learn so much from brothers and sisters in Christ, watching their trials, watching their tribulations, their victories, blessings. And those things in our life can really increase our faith. 1 Peter 5:5-6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We can learn so much from brothers and sisters in Christ. Could you imagine being someone who was able to spend your time being a servant to D.L. Moody or Charles Haddon Spurgeon or Billy Graham and see what God did in their lives, how much that would increase your faith, how much that would encourage you. I know that in a past ministry of mine, we used to have testimony time every Wednesday night before our prayer meeting and every before our Sunday evening service. And those times where brothers and sisters in Christ share answered prayer and blessings, those are times that we should be gleaning from it ourselves to increase our faith, to get our encouragement. Utilize brothers and sisters, other godly saints to increase our faith. Second, we see that Joshua was a prudent soldier. Verses 1, 5 through 9, we won't go there for the sake of time, but we just read those a few times. But the obedience of Joshua helped him develop in leadership. It helped him develop in leadership. Joshua shows a successful soldier is an obedient soldier. Go ahead and turn for sake of time, we'll go quick. Go to Exodus chapter 17. I do want us to see this real fast. I know I'm already kind of past my time. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to, you listen fast, I'll preach fast. Exodus chapter 17. Look at verses 8 through 16. As we see once again that Joshua was an obedient soldier. Exodus 17, 8. Then came Amalek, who fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did. He didn't debate. He didn't argue. He didn't question his instructions. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. And Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, lifted up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Why? Because he knew Joshua was going to need this someday. But we see that Joshua was obedient, wasn't he? For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek under the heaven. And Moses built an altar and called his name Jehovah Nissi. For it is said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war on Amalek from generation to generation. We see that Joshua was an obedient soldier. Now imagine our military. We've been celebrating today, our independence and those that have sacrificed much for the freedoms that we get to enjoy today. Think about how inept, how dysfunctional our military would be if soldiers didn't obey their commanding officers. It would be ridiculous. Charge that hill. No, you do it. It wouldn't work. Officers are usually in that position because they are prudent, because they are wise in military strategy. And a wise soldier is an obedient soldier. Well, the same thing applies to the believer. An obedient soldier, obedient Christian is a wise Christian. We must be obedient to the Lord and the Word of God. Joshua was obedient to the Lord and the law, which would produce a courageous and wise leader. The obedience of Joshua would help him develop in decision making. We saw there, going back to our text in verse 5, that the Lord promised not only would he not fail thee or forsake thee, but also if Joshua was obedient to the word of God, he would be prosperous and have good success. And that's one thing I've always wondered, is why so many believers struggle with this truth. And we want blessing. We want God to have his hand upon our lives. But we need to be obedient to the word of God. We need to be obedient to the Lord if we want those blessings, if we want success in life. And I believe the best decision a Christian can make is be obedient to the Lord's statutes, commandments, and warnings. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is as a roaring lion, walketh around seeking he may devour. We get some warnings all throughout God's word of how Satan is looking to devour us or destroy our lives or destroy our testimonies. We need to obey the word of God because it's for our benefit. I know so many people, oh, you abhor the word of God. Oh, well, you guys are fanatics and you miss out on all this. You know, I'd rather know the truth and know that truth sets me free than go be enslaved to sin. Because God's word is a love letter, yes, but it also gives us instruction and guidance in our lives. Protection, warnings. You know, putting aside the help that we get from sin, from the word of God will guide us in our relationships, our marriages, our finances, our parenting, our adversity, our guidance in our lives and in serving and leading. We will get guidance in all these areas in the word of God. So even outside of the help that we get from the enemy and from sin, it helps us in so many areas of our life to help us live a successful Christian life. Third, Joshua was a prudent soldier. Verses 10 and 11, we haven't read these yet, so if you could go back to our text as I finish up. Joshua was a promoted soldier. Joshua was a promoted soldier. Verses 10 and 11. You know what? I'm going to go to verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Joshua was a promoted soldier. Joshua was rewarded. God rewarded Joshua's faithfulness by promoting him or making him a leader. Joshua was perceptive, wasn't he? He was perceptive in learning from the man of God. He was perceptive in learning from the word of God and became an inspired leader for God. Joshua was a wise leader because first he was an obedient soldier. He was an obedient soldier. Listen, God is not going to trust us with the big things until we are obedient in the small things. We need to be obedient in the small things. Faithful in the small things. And then God goes, oh, okay, you know what? I can give him a little more. And so finally he gives us the big things. Ways that we can serve him in a great way. Praise the Lord for VBS. I just love VBS. I love that time to really pour your heart and passion and love into those children and just seeing them come to a saving knowledge of Christ and hearing, you know, Christian songs and Bibles and being around other Christian young people. VBS is such a blessing. Such a blessing. I praise the Lord for that. God wants to use us in great ways to make an impact for Him. And I know as we look at Joshua, his faithfulness and his obedience and how God used him in such a great way, I know a lot of times we can look at these Bible characters and we can put them on this high pedestal. But God wants to do the same great things in our lives. He wants us to have feelings of fear and inadequacy so that we can trust Him. He wants to see us obedient in the small things before He can trust us with the big things. Some things that we can really take. And then last, God will reward believers' faithfulness as well. You know, the Lord wants us to be prosperous. He does want us to have good success. Are we observing other brothers and sisters in Christ, learning from them, gleaning from them, areas that we can get encouragement or increase our faith? Or being obedient to the Word of God? Are we being faithful to the Lord and following Joshua's example? And my prayer for this week, as we celebrate 4th of July and we think about those who made great sacrifices for the freedoms that we get to enjoy, I pray that as we leave today, we would say, you know what? But as a born-again believer, as a child of God, I'm challenging myself to go out of this world and be strong and courageous. God. Let's pray.